Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Welcome back to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. You can follow me on Twitter, at Ryan Recker. Any part of the show, if you hear it, you like it, you can download it, you can do whatever you want with it. You can listen to it on your phone, on your computer. You can listen to it in the bathroom if you really wanted to. KMOX.com/ONA. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. Joining us this hour is David Peter Allen. He writes for RailwayAge.com in an opinion piece. You can find, if you go to that website, in the opinion section, a streetcar thought undesirable. I want to thank our guest, David Peter Allen, for coming on to Overnight America. I'm glad we're able to do this.
Well, I'm glad we finally got our chance, Ryan. I was ready last night, but it sounds like the news got away from us and we got preempted.
Yes, it did. We didn't exactly know what to expect last night, so thank you for coming on and delaying it a day. I really appreciate it. I thought you did a fantastic job with this article. You're someone that lives in New Jersey. I don't know how much research you did on the Delmar Loop trolley, but you had a really good rundown of its timeline and the events that led up to where we are today, which is it not running. So I wanted to first get with you and talk about how this became on your radar and what were some of the things you learned about St. Louis and the Delmar Loop trolley while doing this article.
Well, let's divide this question into two parts. First, how did this come onto my radar? I have been an advocate for better transit for 35 years, almost as long as I've been practicing law. And on top of that, I have been involved both in the local scene in the New Jersey, New York area, and also on the national scene. I'm on the board of RUN, the Rail Users Network, which is a national organization. And I have been writing about rail and transit for more than 20 years. I wrote for other publications before I started writing for Railway Age and became a contributor there, contributing editor. So I keep track of transit. Until December 14th, I had ridden every bit of rail transit in the United States. Something in the San Francisco Bay Area opened up then, so I lost my distinction, but I had it for a while. So I keep track of this. And I had known that the Loop trolley was in trouble. Now, I am not a St. Louisan, but I have been to your city many times.
Oh, great.
I have enjoyed your interesting neighborhoods. I've certainly ridden all of Metrolink, and it's a really good line.
Oh, wow.
I first listened to KMOX probably 50 years ago when they still had the evening in Gaslight Square.
Well, how about that? So you know your stuff. When was the last time?
I used to be a broadcaster back in the day.
Oh, that's great. You actually rode the Delmar Loop trolley, is that right?
I did. I had wanted to ride it for a long time. I kept trying to follow it, see when they would open.
And you and everyone else.
They finally made it.
Uh-huh.
And I was in town on Thursday, April 25th. It was not a great day. I spent the day riding around Metrolink, and I did ride the Loop trolley, and in the morning I had a slinger to prepare myself for the day.
Oh, wow. Okay. How was your experience on the Delmar Loop trolley?
Well, it was interesting, to say the least.
Yeah.
I could tell the line was in trouble because I've ridden all the streetcars, so you know I have a feel for streetcars and where they go and where they can go.
Mm-hmm.
It took half an hour before the car came for me, and I was on car number 002 with a blue and cream car. Somewhere I saw a car 001, the red and cream car, being towed.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's a common occurrence.
Not a good omen.
Yeah. Did you actually
Once
break
I got
down?
On, I really enjoyed the experience. Mm-hmm. Those cars are great. I rode them when they ran in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
They were built in the early 1990s to resemble 1903 vintage cars. It mm-hmm. was fun to ride them. The operator did the best she could. She was very personable, very professional, but it was just hard. There weren't a lot of riders. It wasn't a good day. We had to wait a long time.
Yeah.
And what I saw was a line that had a lot of potential. Mm. I believe in tourist circulators. I believe in this kind of a line. I think Joe Edwards, who I do not know, I only know of him,
mm-hmm.
who pushed for this car, had a great idea in using it as part of the Del Mar Loop revitalization. And the neighborhood looked good.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the trolley could have done its job in helping that revitalization, and maybe someday under other management it'll come back, and it will.
Oof, boy, I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to talk to you about some of the experiences you've had in other cities, and joining us
sure.
here is David Peter Allen from RailwayAge.com. And he had a great opinion piece that's up there, a streetcar thought undesirable. And some of these other ones that you've wrote in the past, one of the big criticisms here in St. Louis was this trolley line really doesn't go anywhere. It's about a couple of miles, and really the most exciting part of it is just down Del Mar Boulevard. It's not really that long of a stretch. It takes a long time to get on it. It's basically a streetcar that doesn't really have much of a transit purpose. It's just cosmetic. It's just for nostalgia. It's just for fun. And for the most part, people aren't going to use it as a serious mode of transportation,
well,
or any transportation.
I don't see what's so bad about fun.
Hmm.
Why not ride a streetcar for fun? It's fun to ride streetcars. Where streetcar service is strong in San Francisco, in New Orleans, hmm. in Dallas, Memphis, Philadelphia, Kansas City, people do ride for fun.
Hmm. I don't know how fun it is waiting, you know, 30, 45 minutes for something that's going to take you.
That's a different problem.
Yeah.
There are other lines. Now, something you have to realize.
Mm-hmm.
Transit is part of the public sector. The private sector wanted to get rid of it. Years ago, they succeeded. It was either bring it into the public sector or there would be nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever something's in the public sector, there's always a political backstory. I battle the politics in New Jersey because I advocate for better service on New Jersey Transit. Politics in New York City has a lot to do with the subways. Same in Chicago, same in San Francisco. In L.A., they're building transit all over the place because they've had a couple of pro-transit mayors, so they're really doing amazing things out there.
Yeah.
And I don't know the backstory in St. Louis. I'm sure that your news department does.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you did a great job in the article, and you gave a lot of backstory. But given the general areas that it covers and the length of the line, is that comparable to the other trolley systems you've seen in other cities?
I have seen others in other cities, yes. It's not that much stronger than the Main Street trolley in Memphis, which has had its problems lately, but it is recovering, and it is a popular tourist attraction. It's mm-hmm. 2.2 miles, and if that's too far to walk.
Is it all one straight line, or is it like go to one place to another? Like in this case,
Memphis on Main Street is a straight line.
Yeah.
Now your line was an L-shaped line. It had a short segment from Forest Park, which is a major tourist attraction,
mm-hmm.
with the History Museum and all the other museums down down.
Yeah. Right there, the whole way the Forest Park is beautiful, but it's right there. It's not like the hippest area of Forest Park. I mean, it's not where all the people are.
Well, I don't know. It has a lot of attractions. It has the museums. It's a beautiful park. Central Park in New York City is extremely popular.
Yeah. But
and Forest Park has its history. I saw Del Mar Boulevard. I don't remember it from the old days, but from what I could see from a visit just before the line opened, and my visit last April, it looked like a neighborhood that was coming back.
Mm-hmm.
It had transit-oriented development. It had the Tivoli Theater. It had restaurants. It had night spots.
Mm-hmm.
It had activity. I could certainly see it as a very popular tourist draw.
Mm-hmm.
And if managed correctly, I believe that a streetcar a working streetcar to add to what the neighborhood otherwise had to offer made a lot of sense. I think Joe Edwards was right.
Okay.
I don't see a problem with the theory. I see a problem with the execution.
Ooh, let's talk about that after the break. Do you mind holding on?
No problem at all. I'm with you as long as you want me.
Great. I want to talk about that theory and how the execution of it had some pitfalls, which there's some interesting things as part of the article and some just general observations I want to get from our guest, David Peter Allen. He has an article at railwayage.com in the opinion section where he goes really into detail of everything that went into the Del Mar Loop trolley. We know it's a very familiar story here in St. Louis. We've been talking about it for years. We've had a lot of people disappointed in it from the very start. And it's interesting, potential or not, when someone from outside of the area starts to dissect this, what are their impressions of it when they know about all these other systems across the United States? It helps put things into perspective. We'll continue our conversation with David next on Overnight America KMOX.
Weekday mornings at 8:30, Charlie Brennan and Amy Marks-Kors provide perspective on KMOX and KMOX.com.
He writes for railwayage.com. If you go to their opinion section, a few days back, he posted an article called "A Streetcar Thought Undesirable." A great, great, great look at the Del Mar Loop Trolley, the ill-fated Loop Trolley. It's author David Peter Allen. Thank you for holding on and sticking around on KMOX.
Glad to be here, Ryan. Now, you asked about other cities some other places. Mm-hmm. And let me give you three stories to illustrate what streetcars can do and how they can be so popular in a community, both with locals and tourists. In San Francisco, where the cable cars, which are different from streetcars, run, and they're unique, they are run and priced as a tourist attraction. But the conventional streetcars, historic streetcars on Market Street and the Embarcadero, are so popular that even though the line on Market Street was abandoned in the 1980s, they never took the wires down. They never ripped up the tracks, and the cars came back. And the line is extremely popular today, both with tourists and with locals.
Okay.
That's one example.
Okay.
Another is New Orleans. They have 1923 vintage streetcars on St. Charles Avenue, still running. They have added several lines, Canal Street and some others, over the years recently. They plan to add more. In 2010, when Bi-State Transit in St. Louis was being very hard hit with cuts, and I reported on those cuts, especially on the bus side, for another publication I was writing for at the time, I went to New Orleans to do a series on how they were doing recovering with their transit after Hurricane Katrina. And they were coming along well. I interviewed the head of transit, a man named Justin Augustine, who has since retired. But one thing he said that I'll never forget, he said, in this city, if you want to involve the community, you have to involve the streetcar. That's how popular streetcars are among the locals in New Orleans, and the tourists love them too.
Yeah, and their ridership, what's their ridership like? You know,
it's very good.
Yeah.
New Orleans is a compact city. It was built before the automobile age. It is the kind of city where if you wished to and you stayed in the city, you could choose to live car-free, the way a lot of people do in New York or Boston or Philadelphia or Chicago or San Francisco, and even some in L.A. now because the transit has gotten so good. Now, another place where a streetcar is doing very well is Dallas. They have a line on McKinney Avenue. They call it the M line. That line started as a museum operation. It runs with vintage cars, some of which ran in Dallas in the old days. And today it's an integral part of the transit system in the one city in Texas where transit is really growing.
Well, you know, all of those other instances and many more where they have been used. Why do you think St. Louis was a failure?
Their backstory, there's part of the backstory there that I don't know, but I think a lot of the problem may be that St. Louis does not have as strong a downtown mm-hmm. as a lot of other cities do. Mm-hmm. Some of what's left in the downtown in St. Louis, City Hall, for instance, mm-hmm. the Union Station building where the trains don't go anymore.
Well, they can go, but they do every once in a while go. And it's right around Christmas time. They do like the, what's that, Polar Express, and the
Polar
trains
Express.
Will move. Yeah, but it's not like for mass transit now.
Well, I believe that there are still two tracks going in there. And if I ran the rail system in this country, I would bring them back in there. Hmm. It was a great venue. I caught a couple of trains there back in the 1970s.
Oh, okay.
So I do remember it.
Yeah.
But St. Louis strikes me as being rather spread out, and it's not an easy place to use transit. Metrolink is a good line, but it can't expand because I'm not sure the communities in the city are behind it. I know they wanted to go to St. Charles, and that was voted down.
Mm-hmm. They have a couple of connections and things that they try to work out, but there's a lot of issues security-wise, underfunding. They're debating.
Underfunding is a chronic problem with transit everywhere in this country.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Since the way St. Louis is laid out, there's the city and the county, and they're two different governing bodies that work together. But that also means that they fight over who's going to fund what. And even though they share some of the things like this line on Metrolink, they can't come to an agreement of who actually pays for security, which ultimately leads to a lot of gaps, which leads to lots of bad things happening on there. So
there have been problems like that in other places. I know Atlanta has had problems like that, and I noticed you had a story about security on Metrolink on your local newscast a few minutes ago.
Well, what about the price tag that we had for the Del Mar Loop trolley? $52 million, is that on par with what these other...
I'd say so. About $20 million a mile plus the cost of the cars and getting them in shape.
Yeah.
By comparison, and I don't know how apt a comparison it is, we and some of us advocates in the New Jersey and New York area are very concerned about the big interests that want to spend $30 billion for a set of projects in New York called Gateway that some of us, and I'm one of them, and I've covered this extensively in Railway Age, can be built for a third of that, which is a more affordable price. Mm. And you're talking about a 2.3-mile tunnel mm-hmm. under the Hudson River, which is only slightly longer than the Del Mar Loop line.
Oh, yeah. What about?
It's expensive to build things.
Yeah. What about the timeline it took? It took many years to get this thing done. Did it take these other places building it the same amount of time?
Well, it depends on where you go.
Yeah.
The forerunner to this Gateway project, which may never be built, I don't think there's enough money to build it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it'll ever be built this way. And I've said that in Railway Age. We'll have to find a more affordable, more cost-effective way to solve the region's transportation problems. I've known projects that took 20 years to get off the ground. I know a project that was almost completed in 1925 and never opened, the ill-fated Cincinnati subway.
Hmm, interesting.
It's an empty tunnel today. It has a water pipe in it.
Yeah, right.
And they're still talking about using it for transit someday. It may
still
happen. I don't know.
Well, one of the other big questions is that if they decide to close it down, what's going to happen to that federal grant money, the $25 million that was afforded?
Federal Transit Administration could claw that money back.
Yeah, and you were mentioning that there's another example of that happening in California right now.
Oh, yes, California High-Speed Rail. Now, that's not the Federal Transit Administration, the FTA. That's the Federal Railroad Administration, the FRA. But they... And I wrote about this in Railway Age a year ago in an article that I titled Wither, W-H-I-T-H-E-R, mm-hmm. paren W-I-T-H-E-R, close paren, high-speed rail, question mm-hmm. mark, where I looked into that in some depth, and it just does not look like they could have fulfilled the promises they made in California.
Yeah.
we'll still see what happens with Governor Newsom and the legislature. That's still a continuing story. But in New Jersey, there was a former project called ARC, Access to the Regents Core. It was the forerunner of the Gateway Project that we're battling over now. Mm-hmm. And Chris Christie, when he was governor, killed the project, mostly because he did not believe that the state could afford it, although it was less expensive than the project we're talking about now, but also because it would not have performed well. It would have been a separate railroad from the one Amtrak uses to get into Penn Station. It would have gone into a dead-end deep cavern terminal, which was not a popular idea. It had its problems. And the FTA wanted some of their money back because they had advanced some grant money before everything was final on an early work provision, which is rarely invoked. And eventually New Jersey and the feds reached a settlement and they got it straightened out.
Yeah. How much did they pay back? Do you know?
I don't remember offhand. It was several million.
Okay, so it wasn't 100%.
It was money. It wasn't trivial.
Yeah, I see. So
it was not a bad deal for New Jersey.
Okay, so that's something when it comes to negotiations. You just don't know what they're expecting, if anything, but it's probably going to be something. Not going to be 100%.
It would be something. Yeah. They do have the authority. If the line doesn't operate, they have the authority to claw that money back.
Yeah. One other observation I had, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this, and I think one of the biggest problems that the Del Mar Loop trolley had was it seems like they ran it like a hobby, not like a business. And because of that, they were just hemorrhaging money. There was very little oversight, and it's no wonder they keep asking for more money. If you run it like a hobby where you don't anticipate or try to make a profit off of it, you're doomed to fail. Is that a fair observation?
I don't know if it's, to an extent it is, but not completely. If you're talking about whether it was managed well or not, I absolutely agree with you, although I don't know the backstory. If you talk about the profit motivation, I do not agree, because profit motivation is in the private sector, not in the public sector. It was run by a not-for-profit corporation, but I'll say this, and maybe this is my old MBA talking. Good management is good management, whether it's in the private sector or the public sector. And public sector managers have to do a good job just as private sector managers do. I will say that if I had been involved with a new start like this, I would have wanted to make sure that I had the full participation of the major transit provider. That's what the McKinney Avenue people did in Dallas. I would have fare integration rather than a separate fare. I would make sure that connectivity worked. I would run a full schedule. Mm-hmm. That's a big problem that the Del Mar Loop trolley had. It ran only 4 days a week. It never ran seven. I know they had hoped to, but they never did. Mm-hmm. The hours were limited. Mm-hmm. Even at their best, it was Thursday and Sunday, 12 to 8, Friday and Saturday, 12 to 11. That's not full service. Mm-hmm. Even the new streetcar that they started in Little Rock some years ago, it's a small line, goes into North Little Rock and around downtown, it runs full service.
Yeah. Well,
and that's what you need. People need to know they can get somewhere.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're one step above the tourist operations in places like Fort Collins, Colorado, and Fort Smith, Arkansas, and Lowell, Massachusetts, which are a lot of fun to ride, but they're not transit.
Yeah. All right. Well, your article, people can find at railwayage.com in the opinion section.
Railwayage.com. Look on the opinion section. Railway Age has served the industry since 1856, and now we're available online for anyone who wants to learn a little more about freight or passenger rail or transit. My particular field is law and policy with the passenger transit side, but we have all sorts of interesting things.
Awesome. Well, David Peter Allen, thank you so much for spending this half hour with us on Overnight America. I appreciate it.
Well, it was great, Ryan, and I hope to come back to St. Louis and ride the Del Mar Loop trolley again in an incarnation that works well.
You may have to put on virtual reality glasses to ride that thing again. I don't know if they're going to get her started back up by the next time you're here. I don't know.
We'll see.
We'll see. That's right.
We'll watch the story.
David Peter Allen, railwayage.com. You can check out his work there right now. And he joins us on the TDK Technologies guest line. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
News Radio 1120, KMOX. The voice of the Cardinals. This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
And welcome back to Overnight America. We are live until midnight, then we do the replay hours from midnight until 2 a.m. You may actually be listening to that right now. I'm talking to the future. Ooh. Thanks to our guest, David Peter Allen. We'll put him up on the podcast at KMOX.com/ONA. Let me get to Edward, who's calling in from St. Louis. Hello.
Hey, on the other side of the state, I know Kansas City is having a lot of issues with their transit. There's a blog called Tony's Kansas City. I don't know if you're a follower. He's been reporting on it quite often about how much of a waste of money it's been on that side of the state. But one of the reasons also is that the Metrolink has not expanded in Missouri to St. Charles, and they're dying to get to St. Charles, or they're dying to get to Jefferson County, is that then Jefferson County can start to foot the bill for them, and St. Charles County, but the added sales taxes that we've had, the increases over the last few years, you know, we're almost 10% sales taxes, and a couple of them, I think twice it's on paying for Metro.
Isn't that something, that the way you go to some of these districts and you can see the tax just through the roof? It's unbelievable. 13% in some places, 14%.
Man. Just raise the fare.
Yeah. Well, so what's your comments about Kansas City?
I just think there's a boondoggle on that side of the state, and it needs to be addressed. There's a lot of money wasted on that rail system that pretty much goes nowhere also.
Yeah, you want to talk about wasting money. How much money are they talking about that Hyperloop? You know, they want to put a big hyper train, bullet train or whatever from here all the way to Kansas City. Oh, my. You know how expensive that's going to be? And they're going to even build some as like a, but they even tried to pitch it that they want to build some just to give a little taste of it. I don't see the cost ever, ever outweighing the benefit. Or the other way around, I should say, the benefit ever outweighing the cost. It's just, it's going to be a complete waste of money if we try something like that.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Bye. Yeah. Go ahead. Let's spend billions upon billions of billions of dollars so people can get from St. Louis to Kansas City quickly. Who says there's, and this is what they do when they put these cost analysis out there. They say, oh, we're going to save so much money in the long run. You know, people won't be getting into accidents, and it'll save money on gas and emissions and da-da-da-da-da. You know, it's assuming everyone's going to be using this sort of thing. I don't believe in it. But a lot of people do. A lot of people see that as the future. I don't think so. Let's look at California, because the exact same thing they tried to build over in California with this high-speed rail stuff. Guess what happened? Remember how I mentioned this to David Peter Allen? The whole idea of the high-speed rail in California failed, and now they're back in negotiations to pay back the government because it failed because they couldn't even get past the part of construction, realizing that there's no way they could afford this, cost after cost after cost. Here's what I would rather see happen. This is what I would like to see. If there's a private company, let's say Jeff Bezos and his billions and billions of dollars, sees an opportunity and says, well, if you'll allow me to build this, we'll allow your citizens to use this. It'll be a nice public service for everyone. You know, let us put this in between the different, you know, east-west lanes of 70, and we'll do it all for you. I'll pay for it, but I'll get to profit off of this, but it'll be a nice service. You know, you get to say you have it. Then by all means, let's encourage something like that. But you know what? There's not anyone stepping up saying, oh, yeah, this is a great opportunity for me to make money, because it's not a money-making opportunity. It's a money pit. It's something you're going to lose money on. If you're talking about transportation, spend it in areas where people are using it. Make it better for the people that are using it. Make it in an area that can actually use the upgrades, as opposed to paying the billions of dollars for something that's unproven that you don't even know if you're going to get done to begin with. I think it's such a farce that all of these different cities are thinking to themselves that they're just going to build this high-speed rail. It's not built into how the United States uses transportation. It's almost like you're going to have to force the hand and force them to use it in order to get them to use it. And is that how you want them to use it? I don't like it. So here's the phone number, 314 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Getting federal funds, having to pay back federal money, possibility of paying it back with this Delmar Loop trolley. We don't know what's going to happen yet, but there could be an opportunity for the government to come in and say they want some money back. The taxing's still going to continue in that district, so there is going to be money going into the organization, even though they're not running it, but the money will continue to accumulate until, who knows, if they have enough money, it'll take them years, perhaps, to pay them back, whatever that they settle, if they decide to settle, or it could be nothing. You never know. But let's look over in California. It's one thing to say $25 million was wasted in federal grants. It's a different thing to say billions of dollars were wasted in federal grants. Oh, boy, that puts you in a whole different league of trouble. And then again, who's going to be the one that takes responsibility for this thing, if there is any accountability or responsibility? Just like at the Delmar Loop trolley, how many different agencies had their hand in the pot in order to oversee this thing, and no one was effectively overseeing it? And how many other people are stepping up right now saying, oh, you know, I got this wrong? No one. No one is actually taking any accountability for the failures of this thing. So what makes you believe throwing more money at it is going to make it work when no one's accountable for it? It's just, I'm sorry. Some things got to change before you can convince anyone that it would be a good idea to keep this thing going. An awful lot has to change, let alone trying to scale this thing up to billions of dollars and trying to build something between here and Kansas City. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Welcome back. All right. Times, they go by very quickly. I got to ask something. Does anyone watch a lot of late night network television? So CBS is on, and I don't even know what the shows are. I got to say, they show some of the most gruesome stuff on network TV anymore. I don't watch television in general. I don't watch a lot of it. I mean, I do watch it, but not really. If I do have something, it's very specific what I'm trying to find. It's not like I'm just on to have it on. But here in the studio, we got a couple of different news networks on. And, you know, we watch Fox 2's Nightly News and CNN and Fox and MSNBC and all them. But we have the local CBS KMOV on and one of the televisions. And they were showing their late night programming. And there were two shows back to back. And I got to ask this. Does anyone watch KMOV at night when it comes to, I don't even know what the shows are, but it seems like every night they try to put some of the most gruesome stuff on the network anymore. So the show that was on last hour, it had a criminal killer, and I'm sorry, it's going to be a little graphic. I'm just going to describe what I saw. I didn't hear anything. You know, it's just the TV's on, but the audio's not on. And the guy was like killing people, and then he was taking a scalpel, and he was like ripping out their chest or something. He was outlining their chest like he was wearing like a t-shirt, but he was taking the skin off and wearing the skin on his chest because he had like scars on his chest. So there he is. He finds these buff dudes on whatever website, kills them, takes them to his garage, takes the scalpel, cuts around his entire chest, pulls it off and puts it on himself. That was the show. Okay. Now, the next show, this is what's going on. Dude's in the front seat of his car driving around like he's singing to the radio, like Rebecca Black's on or something. It's Friday, and he's having a good old time. The camera zooms out. It shows a high school girl photograph. Like they took, like, you know, in high school you have like your pictures, your senior pictures. And then it shows her face in a bag, not the head. The face, just the skin of the face. This is on network television. What am I watching? Can someone explain this to me? This all they—it's so. It's yeah. In St. Louis, it's not even like that late right now. They're not even on the nightly news. What am I? What is going on? Can anyone that watches CBS or KMOV at night, can you explain to me what the show is? Like, I recognize that guy. I just don't know what his name is. There's a lot of these TV shows. Like, oh, I recognize him. I just don't know what it is. So gruesome. Oh, my. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. It's so strange. When I was growing up, you know what network, you know what the edgiest network television event was? I remember this in the 90s. Remember when NYPD Blue was on and it showed that dude's butt? They thought that was the edgiest thing you can show on television. Oh, isn't that terrible? Look at that guy. On network TV, it showed his booty. That big dude, Spitzowitz or whatever the guy's name was. You know, he had that big, thick accent. Everyone watched NYPD Blue. Fast forward 20 years, and a dude is singing along to Britney Spears in the front of his SUV with a cutout girl's face, on the seat next to him. And now it shows the crime scene photo, and you see the lady laying down without a face. It looks like one of those animatronic animals at a Chuck E. Cheese if you were to take off the mask. They show this on TV. I just don't get it. Ah, so weird. Times have definitely changed. Yeah, edgy in 1990. Beavis and Butthead making fun of music videos. Yeah, Ren and Stimpy. Fast forward. Oh, this is just so gruesome. And this is like nothing to them. It's par for the course. Oh, no big deal. It's just people without a face. And even with the one last hour, they were showing the crime scene photos. And it's like, okay, here's like the muscles. It's like the person's wearing some sort of, you know, a skin-tight suit that shows off what would be underneath the skin, but except, you know, it's literally without skin at that point. I've had times where I've been in the break room, and it shows autopsies, where it's like someone laying on a, you know, steel bed, and it's like full organs just fully open there. And the people are walking in and they're pointing them out like, oh yeah, this looks like this over here. Oh, this is over there. And they're acting like it's no big deal. No big deal. It's network television at night. Maybe I just don't have the stomach for this stuff, but how do they get entertainment out of that? Do they have to do that? Is that something that the viewers want? We must show the girl without a face. What can you look that up? See what's on this program, what it's called at KMOV right now. Now they're visiting someone in the hospital and doing this and that. But I got to tell you, it's any day of the week. It doesn't matter what the show is. They all do it now. Late night CBS, all of them. Is there anything uplifting? Is there anything positive that's on the network TVs anymore? Oh, great. So producer Mike just looked it up. He said it's Sesame Street that's on. Oh, no. Criminal Minds. Okay. Criminal Minds. Do they think of the most twisted, perverted, craziest storylines and they say, let's run with it? Wow. Man. Where is Mr. Rogers when you need him? He needs to advise people. Oh, then there's Fox 2. They got their live news on. I just caught the tail end of it. I don't know if anyone else has noticed this. Maybe it's just because I'm downtown St. Louis late at night because, you know, when I get off the show. You know what I've noticed lately? Over on Tucker, I don't know if they've upgraded the lights, but there's a lot more light down Tucker. Have you noticed that? It's awesome. I'm glad they decided to do that. Outside of our windows here, we can see Soldiers Memorial. And for a while there, they were playing around with the idea on the street lights where there was kind of like a red, white, and blue. They made it look like it was a sliver of the American flag. It's not out there right now. I don't understand. Sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. But you can definitely tell they upgraded the lights here. And that's pine. And on Tucker, they added that to all the street lights, the little red, light, and blue. They've definitely increase the exposure to where the lights are hitting, and you can see a lot more driving down, which is a big plus, because when you're leaving here at night, sure, there's a lot of homeless. It's a little bit colder, so you don't see them moving around as much, but even then, people just walk out because they don't care. People run red lights. They don't stop. Whatever it is, if there's no visibility, people without their lights on, all of those things are major problems. They must have just started it at the start of the year, because before I left for the break, you know, having a couple of weeks off at the end of the year, wasn't like that. So they must have just put that in. That's good. Maybe they're getting ready for All-Star Weekend. They want St. Louis to look as nice as possible. They're getting all these upgrades and things going. All right, coming up in the next hour, talking about All-Star Weekend, something very, very exciting is happening. Possibly, maybe. The St. Louis Blues now confirming it, that Jordan Binnington is going to be taking on Justin Bieber. Now, if you don't know the details to that, I'm going to talk about that with our friend Paul Cook. He's with our sister station, Y98. We're going to have a very friendly wager between our two radio stations based on that shootout. And I hope I'm not a loser. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.